This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
To begin, brothers and sisters, we concluded last week's khutbah speaking about the importance coming out of Ramadan to confront our sense of self-doubt. Will I ever change? Can I ever keep up the change? And we said to remember that for certain you can change after Ramadan from where you were before Ramadan. And you can continue to change. It's an endless ladder, year over year, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. But how to do that? We want to spend some more time on. We said, first of all, Surah Al-Duha taught us that Allah Azza wa Jal has always been bringing about change. Didn't we find you an orphan? Didn't we find you impoverished? Didn't we find you unaware? And so we gave you and we gave you and we gave you. So Allah is always bringing about change. That is the nature of how He deals with His creation. It's always changing. And He is the one that is forever unchanging. يُغَيِّرْ وَلَا يَتَغَيَّرْ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And you know, you can think about this in so many different ways. You know, in one way, you can think about how Islam has brought about such an incredible change in the world. A lost, evil, backward society. Shepherds of sheep and herders of camels become the leaders of nations. Umar ibn Khattab will never become Muslim until his father's donkey becomes Muslim. That's what they used to say. And look at what he had become. And then you can also look at the fact that sitting in this masjid with you, people that are around you, people that I know personally, that perhaps were farther than all of you just a few short months ago, that are older than 90 or 95% of you, and just a few short days ago, they've changed for the better. And so can you. And also think about change not just in the religious improvement, in the character development sense. No, look elsewhere. You know, Muharib ibn Dithar, rahimahullah, he was a qadi, a judge in the lands of Al-Kufa in Iraq. And the biographers mention that he was overheard frequently saying in his munajah, in his soft, intimate conversations with Allah Azza wa Jal, "Oh Allah, أَنَا الصَّغِيرُ الَّذِي رَبَّيْتَهُ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ." I am that child that you caused to grow. So all praise be to you. And I am الضعيف الذي قويته. I'm that weak person. I used to be so weak. And you gave me strength. So all praise be to you. He says, وَأَنَا الْفَقِيرُ الَّذِي أَغْنَيْتَهُ وَمَوَّلْتَهُ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. And I was that poor person. How much money I used to have and now how things are in terms of my finances. I am that poor person that you enrich, so all praise be to you. And then he used to say, وَأَنَا السَّاغِبُ الَّذِي أَشْبَعْتَهُ. And I am that hungry person that you have allowed to have his fill these days. So all praise be to you. وَأَنَا الْعَارِي الَّذِي كَسَوْتَهُ. And I am the naked person that you clothe, so all praise be to you. وَأَنَا الْأَعْزَبُ الَّذِي زَوَّجْتَهُ. And I am that lonely single person. Remember those days when I used to be single, wondering how I'm going to get married? And I was that single person that you married off. So all praise be to you. وَأَنَا الْمُسَافِرُ الَّذِي صَاحَبْتَهُ. And I am that traveler that you accompanied on all his journeys. So all praise be to you. Especially in this age of mass transportation and facilitated travel. How many times have you ever gotten drowsy on a road? How many times have you crossed paths with people that look like they did not want well for you, were not well wishing for you, or could have been, you unwittingly don't even realize that they were at a moment of moral weakness or financial desperation, and things could have ended very differently in that journey. I am that traveler that you accompanied on his every journey, so all praise be to you. وَأَنَا الْغَائِبُ الَّذِي أَوَيْتَهُ. And I'm that stranger, didn't know anybody, didn't know anything, and you pulled him together. So all praise be to you. وَأَنَا الرَّاجِلُ الَّذِي حَمَلْتَهُ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. And you say, and I am that pedestrian. I used to walk on my own two feet. And you carried me. Didn't always have a horse. Didn't always have a camel. didn't always have a car, right? Look at me today. Now I'm the person that just, it's a given. I drive, I don't walk. And I am that foot walker, that pedestrian that you carried, so all praise be to you. Then he would say at the end, فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ عَلَى حَمْدِ لَكَ. And so all praise, abundant praise, continuous praise, pure and blessed praise, be for the fact that I praise you. He praises him above all for the fact that he enables him to recognize all of this and praise him for all of this, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm praising you above all that you did not make me kanood. You know when Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Adiyat, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودِ. The human being is a kanood, is a denier of his Lord, meaning the prevalent majority, the default in humanity is that they deny their Lord. What does it mean, deny? Meaning they deny that God has ever been good to them. Al-Hasan, we used to say about this ayah, يَعُدُّ الْمَصَائِبُ وَلَا يَعُدُّ النِّعَمُ. That all he counts is his misfortunes. He doesn't count his fortunes. The times things were easy, the times he lucked out, as we say, the times that, you know, he dodged the bullet. He doesn't count any of this. He just counts the shortcomings. And so even in terms of our dunya, even in terms of things in our dunya that we don't recall, these were all memories he had, and that we also can conjure up. But even non-memories, you know when Allah Azza wa Jal says, هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءَ. He's the one that fashioned you in the wombs of your mothers however he wished. وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ. And he gave you your image and gave you the best image. What did the Prophet ﷺ do with this? He didn't just say, I don't remember that. He said, اللَّهُمَّ كَمَا حَسَّنْتَ خَلْقِي فَحَسِّنْ خُلُقِي. Oh Allah, as you have beautified my image, so beautify my khuluq, beautify my character. The same way you've beautified my external features at a time when I don't even remember, now beautify my internal features, my inward and then of course outward behavioral, my personality. And subhanAllah, you think about this day and age, the age of entitlement, the age of ingratitude, people don't recognize that Allah has fashioned them beautifully. Everyone is upset at their self-image. They have a negative, I wish I was taller or shorter or skinnier or whatever it's going to be, right? And what can I do to change the way I look? And because they don't recognize what Allah has done for them, they also have such a dark outlook on taking life by the reins, by changing themselves and their personalities for the better, for their own good and the good of those around them. So this is the first thing. Our deen said, look back, keep looking back. Don't ever become that mindless person. Number two, to help us change and tell you for sure you can change, Islam came and said, change is difficult. Maybe you're being a little too hard on yourself, so you're getting demotivated. Change is difficult, and that is exactly why we sent prophets. Prophets changed, even they grew and developed. And prophets came also to show us how to change. You know, Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he says something very profound here. He says, why did God send prophets? Why did God send revelation? He said, because treating the souls, like the personalities, the character, he says, treating the soul, remedying the soul, is harder than remedying the body. And so, if you try to remedy your soul, how am I going to sort of become the best version of myself? Based on your opinions, when you hardly know anything about the nature of the soul, right? Based on your opinions, that is more foolish than someone trying to treat their body based on their opinions, without going to the experts, without going to those who spent their lives sort of getting updated and trained on the latest research. It's even more foolish, because the soul is even more unattainable, undiscernible compared to the body. And so Allah sent us the prophets so we can understand how. Then of what those prophets gave us about how to change yourself for the better, better your nature, you can do it. The prophets came to show you. The prophets themselves did. Of what they told us to do this is to harness our strengths, our unique strengths. You know, there's the famous hadith of Al-Ashaj, very important hadith in this discussion. Al-Ashaj Abd al-Qais. Al-Ashaj was the chief of his tribe. And when they came as a whole tribe, or at least a delegation from the tribe, to wholesale, all together become Muslim with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they got to Medina. Understandably, they were in a rush. So they all rushed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and in the process, they disrespected their chief. Because, you know, in tribal culture, the chief always has first dibs on everything. And so they left him, they dusted him, and they ran to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He didn't do that. He just kind of let them go. He understood their excitement. He ties up the camels, his camel and maybe even theirs. And then he says, I have better clothes in my bag than the clothes, you know, the dusty, sweat, been traveling for weeks. He changes his clothes, and then he walks up to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, last but most presentable. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, "Inna fika khaslatayn yuhibbuhum Allah." You have two qualities, two strengths, two personality strengths, two qualities that Allah loves. Al-hilm wal-ana. Hilm is like forbearance. You can put up with insult. And you put up with their insult. You're not holding it against them. You did a good thing. Don't hold it against them. Great job. He says, wal-ana and deliberation. The fact that you're calculated, you slow down, you're not hasty, because haste opens the door to shaitan, right? So you're not hasty, you're thoughtful. He said, wait a minute, I have better clothes. Let me. It's worth it. Even if it's going to cost me a bit of time to come best foot forward with the Prophet ﷺ. So forbearance and deliberation. And so he said, he asked an important question that is at the heart of the discussion of can I change. He said, أَجَبَلَنِ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا أَمْ تَخَلَّقْتُ بِهِمَا. Did I develop these two qualities? Like, do I get credit for this? Or did Allah just give me these two? I'm born that way, just my nature, my personality type. So he said, بَلْ جَبَلَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا. Rather, Allah defaulted you, disposed you in this way. These are built in, these two. So he said, Alhamdulillah الَّذِي جَبَلَنِي عَلَى مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. All praise, credit is all to Allah anyway. Even if it's my effort, Allah made efforts possible. So no big deal. He said, all praise be to Allah, who put me on two qualities that are beloved to him and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know why this hadith is so important in so many ways? First of all, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam didn't say there's no such thing as you developing good qualities. When he said, did I develop them or did God give them to me like freebies? He didn't say no such thing as developing them. He concurred, right? That you can, so we got to put in work. But he also turned his attention to the ones that are easier for him. He said, by the way, these two are built in. Low-hanging fruit, right? Begin with those. So he reminds him that some of them are given, which means some of them are harder. So begin with those, begin with the positives, not the negatives. That's the idea. Don't be too hard on yourself. Harness those strengths. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he has a wonderful parable about this. He says, most people, you know, they don't know how to handle their nature, their default negative qualities he's talking about here. You know, whether you're an angry person, you're a lazy person, or whatever it may be, you're a scared, cowardly person, whether you're an impatient person, whatever it may be. He says, people get overrun by their nature because they don't know how to interact with their nature. You know, we always talk about nature versus nurture. Is it my nature or do I nurture it, right? This is what we're talking about here. He says, it is like a seasonal flood. Imagine you live in a town of people, and there's a flood, huge flood that comes and destroys everything every year. When the icebergs melt, and there's a huge flood, landslide and flood every year. So he says the people disagreed on how to handle it into three categories. Of course, there's a fourth category. Let me get it out of the way. The fourth category is the guy who just ignores the flood. You know, he keeps getting caught off guard for a lifetime by his weaknesses, by his negative qualities. He may even throw some religious language onto it and say, as Allah's qadar, God destined, God made me this way. He's saying the people that care about developing themselves, about improving, change for the better, there are three categories. One category said the flood is coming, we have to build a wall, big strong wall so the flood doesn't ruin us like every year. He said, and now that was a bad strategy. Because the wall, you can't confront the force of nature, right? Allah's nature, right? You can't. He says, so they built this wall, and all the wall did was momentarily keep the water out, but in reality, it built up the pressure, right? And it cracked the wall, and it did even more damage, because they tried to sort of stop it. The second category of people said, no, no, no. We can't let this happen over and over and over and over again. We have to get to the source of the problem. We're going to go figure out where this flood comes from, and we're going to stop it at the roots, at the source. We're going to uproot the problem. He said, and so they traveled away and they never came back. They got lost, gone. Sometimes our lives are too short. Our sort of abilities, our short-sightedness is just too much to be able to pull this off. It's a bad idea, he's saying, to figure out the root cause of every single one of your weaknesses, right? He says, then the third category are people that said, listen, let's be practical here. We're not going to be able to stop it, and we don't want to be like those guys who never came back years ago. We're going to build sort of channels, ways, so that when the water comes, not all of it hits us. Some of it is moved, is redirected, left and right, into our farmlands, so we can grow some plants with it. So we can sort of have some. He says, and these are the rightly guided. These are those who noticed Allah's wisdom. That very force of nature, that flood that could overrun you, could also be the flood that is redirected, softened, to grow your rose gardens, right? Your darkest side could become one of your strengths if you harness it. Focus on the positive and harness the negative. That's what our deen taught us to do. If you're a man of great pride, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was, you're going to channel that into, I want to be of the few who get into all eight doors of Jannah. And he was. If you're like Umar al-Khattab, you're a forceful person. Be a force of justice, not a force against the weak and the powerless, right? You channel it in that way. If you can't get yourself to stop boasting, it's a horrible quality in general. In the Battle of Uhud, Abu Dujana took the Prophet's sword. He asked for it. He was the only one that was willing to live up to it. It was high, big responsibility. And he wraps his head in a red turban to call all the attention to himself. Who wants it from the enemy, right? And he starts strutting, walking around arrogantly. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what? إِنَّهَا لَمِشْيَةٌ يُبْغِضُهَا اللَّهُ إِلَّا فِي هَذَا الْمَوْضِعِ. This is a despised, a hated way to walk in the sight of Allah. Allah hates when people walk like this. Except, this is where you harness it now. Except in the, because in this case, you are actually doing a good thing, which is spiting those who have took up arms against Allah and His Messenger and the innocent. And so, harnessing those bad qualities and not getting bogged down by them is of what the prophets came to teach us to change for the better, to maximize our potential. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله, he continued in this discussion that I'm summarizing for you here in the khutbah. It is found in Madarij al-Salikin, his famous book, Ranks of the Divine Seekers. He says, and I once approached my teacher and I said to him, how do we get rid of all of our bad qualities quickly before the day of judgment, before we meet Allah Azza wa Jal? He said to him, listen, getting to the bottom of your soul is like getting to a well and trying to take out all the trash from the bottom. The more you do it, the more you're going to muddy the whole well. So you want to build a bridge over it. Ibn al-Qayyim says, when he told me that, I shared with him something I heard from another scholar. Another scholar said, it is like you trying to ride a straight road, straight path, right? And there's snakes and there's scorpions. If you try to kill every last snake and scorpion, there's not enough time. You will never get to your destination. And so whatever is in your way that you can't get past, kill it. Right? And Ibn Taymiyyah, his teacher, had said to him what? Don't try to stir up the well. Build a bridge over it. Right? Get past it. Don't stop at everything. And this is by recognizing that perfection is impossible. Perfection is for Allah Azza wa Jal himself to begin with. Right? And that is the last advice. Our Islam said, be very careful of being too confident in yourself, being too preoccupied with your mission to even better yourself. Don't be distracted from the healer, Ash-Shafi, subhanahu wa ta'ala, of his names, by the disease. You should be more focused on Allah, the healer. He's not just perfect. He's the one that can heal your imperfections, more than you can at least, right? And so you want to be more focused on Allah, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was when he said, وَهْدِينِي لِأَحْسَنِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Oh Allah, guide me to the best character. لَا يَهْدِي لِأَحْسَنِهَا إِلَّا أَنْتِ. No one can guide me to the best of it but you, meaning not even me. وَصْرِفْ عَنِّي سَيِّئَهَا لَا يَصْرِفُ عَنِّي سَيِّئَهَا إِلَّا أَنْتِ. And turn away from me the worst of my character traits. No one can turn away from me the worst of it or the worst of these qualities but you. Hand yourself over to Allah, even more than you work on yourself. You know, they say of the beauty of the Qur'an, which is how you hand yourself over to Allah, for sure. The greatness of Allah is there. The guidance of Allah is there. They say of the greatness and beauty of the Qur'an is that no one can ever change it until the end of time. Nobody can change it. Whereas the Qur'an can change anybody. So that is the super shortcut. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us and you of the people of the Qur'an and better our character traits and bring about for us the best of our qualities possible in our life journeys. Allahumma ameen.